Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Halfway home on a Wednesday. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Thank you again to the great and legendary coach, former coach of the Aztecs, Steve Fisher. And I tweeted, people ask me all the time, who's your favorite interview on Ben and Woods? And it just hit me. It's very obviously Coach Steve Fisher. He is a, as I tweeted, a legend and a beauty of a human being. And we've had some good ones, you know, over the years. Certainly got to meet a lot of famous people, and doesn't really get much better than that for me. Every chance we get to talk to Coach Fisher is an honor. And it's just hard not to root for that guy, man. It's just really, really hard. What a good, good human he is.
For me, I just told you in the last segment there at the end, like my experience at San Diego State with that basketball program and how it gave me so many just cherished memories. Sure. With my friends at that time. And to now be able to like call Coach Fisher a friend.
Yeah, it's the
and
best.
And like just call him up on our show and he's like, hey, Paul, how you doing? I'm like, oh my God.
It's great.
Like,
it's
how do you not fanboy still?
I know.
You're like, oh,
that's
like,
great.
I just feel like everybody wishes he was their grandfather.
Yeah,
he's
grandfather.
Just a gem of a human being.
That's right. That's right. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel. Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well.
By the way, you were worried yesterday about figuring out how to watch tonight's game on the Mountain West Network.
I downloaded the Chevron app. I won't need it. Is that what you're telling
you
me?
You will not need it. The Aztecs did announce yesterday that the game will now be broadcast on Channel 4, Your View, on Cox Cable and Spectrum Cable in San Diego, kind of
good.
Like the old Padres channel 4. They've also picked up three other games, including next week's game against Occidental on Tuesday, the USD game on December 7th, and the Cal Baptist game on December 11th. So kind of the home buy games that are not on national network television will now be broadcast locally, at least to cable subscribers. If you don't have cable, you still can find it on the Mountain West Network online or streaming.
Once again, Boomer Woods, no problem. Going to be able to watch it on the big screen tonight. Very happy about that.
No downloads required.
No, nothing. Laying in bed, watching on my phone. Can put it on the big TV. Now, it's at 7.
So that's your biggest issue.
That's my biggest issue. Usually try to hit the sack about 7:30, especially with the time change. I'm out, man. I get those kids down, and I am just cashed. But we got birthday. My son Taylor turns 4 today, so we'll be celebrating his birthday. And I don't know what we're going to do.
Today's not Corvette Diner. That's later.
That's Friday.
That's Friday,
yeah,
right?
Going to be at Corvette Diner.
I've been at Corvette Diner in so long.
Place is elite. It's elite.
I used to like dream about going to Corvette Diner. That was like, oh yeah, can you take us to Corvette Diner?
It's for little kids. Now, I mean, you know, you got to remember they're going to be doing the they do a lot of shtick, singing and whatnot.
For those of you who haven't been to Corvette Diner, it's like a 50s diner.
Yeah.
Like Jackrabbit Slims in the movie Pulp Fiction.
But nobody's doing lines in the bathroom of
well, you don't.
Well, I mean, yeah,
no, I have no idea.
Maybe
going on in the bathroom at Corvette Diner.
It's true. I guess I don't know, but it's still a great place. And they got the like the 50s food and stuff, yeah, and the shakes.
Milkshakes and malts and burgers and fries.
God, I would have thrived back then. I mean, I think we've talked about this. If we were back in the 50s, would I have been a greaser? Probably.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Jeans, white
t-shirt. I don't think we've talked about this.
Have we not?
Oh,
You're almost one today.
I
am greasy.
I would have been the guy who was still stuck in like the 40s, still probably wearing the like the tie. And,
no, you know. Wouldn't you have been like the Madras guy? Like the, is that what they call it, Madras? Like the,
I know the word, but I don't know.
The weird patterned shirts, like the prep, like
no,
preppy.
I don't think so. Yeah, I would have been the old school, probably button down white shirt with the you know thin tie that they used to wear.
Yeah,
yeah.
Stuck in the 40s.
Yeah.
Horn rimmed glasses.
Ben would have been a Soch. I don't know that he would have been a Soch.
I don't know. Were you cool enough to be a Soch?
I just don't know if I could have found anyone to go with me to
you
the sock.
Many Soch like qualities.
You have so many Soch.
But I don't know that you would have been an actual Soch.
I definitely would have been a greaser. Definitely. For the rebel without a cause, pack of smokes rolled up right here.
You love the outsiders when you were.
Oh, there. I love the outsiders.
S.E. Hinton.
S.E. Hinton. Yeah. Yeah, love the outsiders. Great book, great movie.
Yeah, J to the J. I'm George McFly.
Yeah, George McFly. Fair enough. Fair enough.
I'll finish that up for you on Sunday. Don't not too early. I sleep in on Sunday.
What are you looking at, butthead?
So shoes untied.
Oh, come
don't
on,
be so,
McFly.
Don't be so gullible, Higgins. Don't be so gullible.
Yeah, you would have skirted the line, though, between Soch and George McFly, I think. Oh, the greaser. How cool would that have been? Just ride up on your motor. Everyone had motorcycles. They all drove motorcycles. They all looked cool.
They didn't all drive motorcycles.
Or they had like cool like Chevys, like badass cars.
Yes. Yeah, that was the now, those cars, the classic cars, were very cool looking.
Yeah, I like that. 50s would have been fun, I think. A lot of fun. All right. Well, I digress.
All right. We had a little other baseball news yesterday from the winter meetings. Well, not really the news from the meetings or the GM's meetings, but the Dodgers did announce that Shohei Ohtani had, shockingly, surgery to repair a torn labrum. It wasn't just the partially dislocated, subluxated shoulder that they had said during the World Series. He actually tore his labrum, just like Ha-Sung Kim did, and that's why he probably only had one hit the rest of the World Series, and he was mostly just a decoy out there
for
the last three games.
Just like his dog's name is Decoy. Is that malpractice to let that guy, your $700 million investment, go up there with a torn labrum?
No, I don't think he made it any worse. I mean, they say he'll be ready for spring training. He had the surgery.
So when Ha-Sung Kim, they say he may not be back until May, June.
That's because
it's
because it's Ha-Sung Kim's throwing shoulder. Mm. And I would assume, I don't know, is Ha-Sung Kim,
yes,
he'll be ready to
hit it again.
Hit?
Like Ha-Sung Kim, bro,
could he DH when spring training starts and he just can't throw?
I told you guys, when I went to the game in San Francisco, we were walked down to our seats, Padres were hitting BP, and I looked over and I went, wow, somebody is knocking the snot out of the ball. And I go, oh, that's Ha-Sung Kim taking these violent, violent hacks in the cage. And I'm like, if he can swing it like that, why isn't he playing? And I, it was the throw, right? And I'm like, okay, well, I guess you could DH, but we had, you know, we had guys that were playing really well at that time, in Solano and Peralta at the DH slot, but I was like, they were violent swings, man. They were not like, I'm just going to get a little work in. I mean, he was absolutely tattooing
the ball. Sure right after the surgery, you can't do anything and swing. And maybe it was a more severe labrum tear. I don't know the difference between the two, but I think the main difference for Shohei is it's his left shoulder. Had it been in his right shoulder and, you know, he was trying to rehab his arm for pitching, that could have really impacted the Dodgers next season.
Big time,
so they caught a break that it was the left shoulder that he ended up tearing the labrum and not the right shoulder, because it would have totally thrown off his entire rehab process and maybe even kept him from pitching much of next season as well. But with the left shoulder, probably will be fine. They don't ask him to ever play the field, so that's not an issue, and it's not his throwing shoulder, so that's not part of it either.
Still very curious to see how he's deployed. by Dave Roberts and Andrew Friedman and the Brain Trust in L.A. Just very curious as to see when they let him hit, how often he hits, how often he pitches. I know that Yamamoto, they have the extra day of rest. They probably, and I think we were talking to Eno Saris, he said they'll go with a six-man rotation
because they've got two pitchers that basically want to do a once-a-week schedule, and they'll be able to do that. They have plenty of pitchers to do it.
They do.
I mean, with, you know, assuming, now they could still have injuries, but not just Glasnow coming back, but who else do they have? Gonsolin, May.
Dustin May. Clayton Kershaw, potentially.
Potentially Clayton Kershaw.
They have Yamamoto. They could bring back Jack Flaherty. I mean, there's a ton of options. They have a ton of options. They have a ton of money. They're going to get who they want. And everyone's talking about Max Fried being a Dodger. He was celebrating with several of the Dodgers players. He's friendly with them. He knows them. He was a Dodger fan growing up. A lot of people think
And they still have their prospects, you know, Bobby Miller, yep. Landon Knack, you know, who could take a step.
Yeah, they're rolling
as well.
Spring training about 13 deep, starting pitching-wise. So I think they'll be fine. But it will be interesting to see, you know, how he responds. That's two surgeries in two off seasons for Shohei Ohtani.
Yep. Other injury news I saw yesterday, the Atlanta Braves said they do not expect Ronald Acuna Jr. or Spencer Strider to be back in time for the beginning of the 2025 season. They'll still be recovering. That's of note to Padres fans because the beginning of the season for the Braves will be here in San Diego. Padres host the Braves on opening day. So looks like they won't be facing Strider or Acuna, at least in that opening series against the Atlanta Braves, as neither of those guys' rehab is expected to be complete by the time spring training and the opener to the 2025 season rolls around. And did we mention it yesterday, the David Fry injury with the Guardians?
Yeah, that's bad, man.
He's elbow surgery, and it looks like he'll be out for most of next season. If he does come back, it'll only be as a DH for the last, you know, maybe couple of months of the year.
That's a blow for them.
He was an all-star and was one of their better players, so that's a tough loss for the Cleveland Guardians next season.
Yeah, and a lot of teams, man, are, you know, already kind of starting behind the eight ball right now. Luckily, you know, I think that's the other thing. We were talking about Mike Shildt and the Padres earlier. You know, injuries, we had guys banged up. Certainly Manny was banged up at the beginning of the year. Xander got banged up. Tatis was banged up. Honestly, though, like the way that they played, navigating through all of that was pretty admirable. And I don't know that we've given them enough credit for that. But those are one of those things that can just derail a team from the get-go. And the Braves were great. I mean, they ended up making the playoffs. They had half their team hurt for most of the year. The Dodgers as well were ravaged by injuries. And it's just kind of one of those things you can't really control. And you just kind of cross your fingers and hope for the best and hope you're deep enough to withstand it. And the Padres were, the Braves were, and the Dodgers were certainly going on to win the World Series. So depth remains a very, very key thing for A.J. Preller to focus on.
Mike in the chat also points out, you know, they are the favorites for Roki Sasaki.
Yep.
At least around baseball, that's considered...
it's wild. It's already like a done deal.
It is considered like overwhelming now. I still think the Padres are in it and will be a player for it. But all the reports are that Roki Sasaki likely is going to be posted to come over. And again, it's not about money because he's under 25. It's simply the international signing bonus. So it's basically, it's more like college recruiting than... pro
it's
recruiting.
Like NIL money, basically.
He's getting NIL money,
he's
really trying to pick the best school for him that he thinks is going to be the right fit for the next six seasons. Because once he signs, he'll be locked in for 6 years of control as a pitcher with his new organization.
And you have benefits to both. And if it's the West Coast he wants to be on, and we don't know that that's the case at all, but you know, we know he's close with Yu Darvish. We know that he knows A.J. Preller. A.J. Preller's known him for many years. It's just dependent on, you know, if he looks at that and says, yeah, I want the easiest path to a championship. I know a couple of the guys on the squad. Yeah, he's going to be a Dodger.
Take your Padres fandom out of it if you can. And I'm not sure I can either, but if Roki Sasaki goes to the Dodgers, and, you know, I've seen Eric Hosmer tweeting about this, Dodgers creating a super team,
sure.
A dynasty.
Don't they do that every year?
Well, they try, but... Is that good for baseball or bad for baseball? To have a true, like, super team that is an overwhelming favorite to win the World Series.
Aren't they an overwhelming favorite almost every year?
All right, well, let's say they win a couple. Let's say they win the next two or three. Yeah, like they have a run of three or four in a row. Again, we would hate it as Padres fans.
Sure, it'd be terrible.
Is that good or bad for baseball? If the Dodgers become a super team and win multiple World Series, you know, four out of the next five, six out of the next eight, and go on a run like the Yankees did in the late 90s and early 2000s, good for the sport or bad for the sport?
How'd you guys feel in the 90s about the Yankees?
See, now...
How'd you feel?
I felt great. I thought it was okay for baseball. I thought it really...
Didn't bother me. Like,
drove some interest.
Should've.
I know. And the Padres even were one of the teams that, you know, was buzzsawed by that Yankees team.
They were the evil empire.
Sure.
But regardless of who your team was, you did not like that.
Yeah. I didn't think it was bad for baseball that they were good.
I really didn't either. And again, my argument back then to Red Sox fans that I would fist fight in middle school was, I'm sorry that your owner doesn't spend money on your team. I'm sorry. Don't be mad at me. Be mad at him. He's the one that pockets the lion's share of the rake. You know, spend money on your team. Go get good players. Try to win as many games as you can. So,
but if they're not really challenged ever,
I know.
I don't know if that's exciting or entertaining. I mean, what's been really entertaining is see the Padres, you know, rise up, fight and challenge the Dodgers, beat them in 2022, sure. Push them to the limit in 2024. If the Dodgers are truly so vastly superior, the only thing that anyone can hope for is that, well, it's the playoffs and it's the randomness in baseball.
David V. Goliath, yeah.
You know, that they could lose a short series, and so that's your only chance, really, to take down the Dodgers for the next 8 years?
Look, taking your Padres hat off, you saw the ratings for the World Series. They were through the roof and better than ever, and they beat Monday Night Football. That makes me happy. I don't care who the participants are. That made me happy, and that's good for baseball, ultimately. But, you know, look, I think there's a bigger issue coming in baseball that we haven't really talked about yet, but it's, if you put your ear to the ground, it's what you're hearing the most about, and it's a potential work stoppage coming up after next season, and that's what has got me. What the Dodgers do in free agency, yeah, I'm like, I'm interested, right? And I'm going, okay, this could get pretty crazy if you add Max Fried and Juan Soto and everybody else, and yeah, you're gonna have a super team and you're gonna be tough to beat. You still got to win the games. The work stoppage potentially coming down the pike is what really makes me stay up at night, not what the Dodgers are doing.
We can discuss that further as we go on. We're going to take a quick timeout, check of traffic. More Ben and Woods coming up. Don't go away. Talk more about Mike Schilt's contract extension and what you now think is the next move for the San Diego Padres coming up here.
I know what it better be.
On 97.3 The Fan.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Mike Schilt is extended, and we know what Woods wants to be the next move for the San Diego Padres. So just go ahead, say it again for everyone in the back, hasn't heard it.
One Ruben Niebla. Got to get that done. And the word around the campfire is that those the coaching staff is going to be smoothed out and sorted out here in the next few days.
Have you been toasting marshmallows without me around the campfire?
Never.
Okay.
I don't even like campfires, as you know. I don't like the smell. I don't like the smoky smell at all.
You always have to sit upwind.
Yeah, but...
Because I mean, you don't want it blowing right in your face.
You say that, but then you just reek of campfire for days and days. You can't get it out of your nose. So, my metaphorical campfire, yeah. It looks like they're going to... At least that's the report I saw yesterday, that they're going to, you know, get the rest of the coaching staff.
And I would think that Mike Schilt's stability makes that move even more likely to get done. No question marks going forward. I've heard nothing but good things about the relationship between Mike Schilt and Ruben Niebla.
Sure.
So you got him in the fold. If there was any thought that Ruben might go anywhere else, he probably goes, all right, but looks like a pretty good situation. Wouldn't be stunned if he got a three-year deal as well. That keeps him tied with Mike Schilt with the San Diego Padres. Obviously, as a pitching coach, you always have the opt-out if you get offered another job as a manager somewhere else, and he certainly is entitled to that. But, yeah, I would think it's not just a one-year deal. Give him a multi-year deal. Give him a little security. He's definitely earned that with the job that he has done as pitching coach for the Padres.
No question, man. We got a good one. Let's try to keep him here. And the guys that are here love pitching for him. The guys that pitched for him before would like to pitch for him again.
Kevin Acey wrote in the Union Tribune last night talking about the Mike Schilt extension. He said the team has been working on contracts for most of its baseball operations employees and some members of the coaching staff. Those deals, including one for pitching coach Ruben Niebla, are expected to come to be completed in the coming days.
Good.
So when AJ Preller said the next 2 weeks we're going to be working on those things, he indeed was.
He was.
At least working on the manager and the coaching staff over this two-week period.
You asked an interesting question before we came back, and it was, you know, is the Dodgers putting together a super team, or any team doing it? The Yankees or the Mets? The Mets are really going to be a team in consideration for looking to put together a super team as well. It would not surprise me to see Juan Soto hitting second or third in Queens next year. Steve Cohen has the money. He's enamored with Juan Soto. Why wouldn't you be?
Would that be a super team, though?
Well, no, but I mean, he wouldn't stop there. You know, Steve Cohen wants a winner in New York.
I've seen the pushback on that, though, that once he hired David Stearns, the former Milwaukee Brewers GM and executive, that they're not going down the spend trajectory. You don't hire David Stearns and then go, I know your skill set is doing more with less and putting together great teams, but we want you to just spend.
I think you missed the point there. His skill set is not doing more with less. His skill set is evaluating really good players. And now you have a guy that can evaluate really good players and has money to spend on them if he so desires them. Remember AJ Preller had the shackles taken off a couple of years, right? By Peter Seidler. It was like, go get what you need to get, right? Go do what you need to do.
Wasn't necessarily AJ at his best, though.
Yeah, absolutely right.
We saw AJ at his best when the shackles kind of went back on.
Of course. And so I do think the Mets are going to be in contention for every free agent that the Dodgers are going to be in, or any other team, the Yankees, whatever. But, you know, I'm seeing a lot of people in the chat say it's not fair. It's not fair that the Dodgers do it. I think the only thing that's not fair, is something I'm trying to get out of my kids' vernacular. Bo says it all the time, and I'm constantly on him. It's not fair. It's not fair. It's not fair. Well, guess what, buddy? Welcome. Welcome to the planet. You know, get a helmet, and you're going to find more often than not, things aren't fair. And you have to kind of find a way. You're not going to fold up the tents and just give up because it's not fair. The one thing that you can look at is the TV deal, right? The TV deal that's unequivocally unfair. $350 million before you even sell a ticket or a hot dog is not fair. Now, what I will give them credit for is they put that money back into their team. They absolutely do. A lot of guys don't. A lot of guys get revenue sharing. It goes right into their pocket. A lot of guys get TV money. It goes right into their pocket. So I can't really complain about a team investing in its team.
You mentioned a potential work stoppage next year, which would, of course, be horrifically bad for the sport. But I will die on the hill that it's better in the NFL and the NBA with fixed salary caps, but also every team has to spend that much money. That it there has to be a mechanism that forces teams like the A's to and the Rays to spend more money. There has to be the salary floor. But with that, there also has to be a kind of a cap
as
well.
No player ever is going to go, yeah, sounds good. I'm in.
And I get that. And I generally am pro player, but I'm also pro sport of baseball.
Sure.
And I'm pro fan.
How do you, who's?
And I think for the fans, the best version of baseball has every team spending more, but reins in the Mets and the Dodgers and the Yankees from just bludgeoning and collecting all kinds of stars and keeping them off of other teams. The NBA is great because so many teams have stars now. Have stars. It makes for a great league. Wouldn't it be great?
But there's 12 guys, you know? Like, there's 12 as opposed to 7,000.
I thought about that when you originally asked the question about super teams, and I thought about, like, the NBA and how, you know, the Bulls and the Lakers of the 90s and the 2000s, they had Shaq and Kobe. They had Jordan and Pippen, and then a lot of great role players.
Yep.
But then the Celtics came along and had Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, and Ray Allen.
Right.
That was like the first super team.
And then you had
Bosch, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, and LeBron.
I mean, Bosch gets in there, yeah.
He was at the time, he was really an good. Elite player.
Yep, he was.
And then you had the war. Like, now every team was like, well, this is the new model.
Right.
You have to have a big three to even compete. And now you're looking around, and every team, it seems like, has at least one all-star, one superstar, maybe two, maybe even three. They did kind of change, the game kind of changed with the trend, but it's a little bit apples and oranges
comparing baseball to basketball.
I think in baseball, you're always going to win on the margins with some depth by putting together good rosters. You see it. The teams that, you know, get production from the bottom of their lineup, that have good bullpens, you can make the playoffs. The Milwaukee Brewers.
You can win the World Series now with two starting pitchers. You can do it. It's been done.
For the game to be at its healthiest, I do think it requires the teams like the Rockies, they have to put more into their product.
Yes.
And the teams like the Mets and the Dodgers and the Yankees have to be put into check a little bit more.
That's just my
belief of the best thing for baseball.
Spend till your heart's content. But the deferrals and stuff like that, the workarounds, the loopholes, and again, nothing illegal, nothing shady about it. Nothing. There's not one thing the Dodgers did wrong there. You have to have the player that's willing to do it, and they had him. He knew he was going to make $100 million in endorsements. He doesn't care.
Do you think maybe if we see another one of those, maybe not obviously 600 plus million in deferrals or whatever, but another interesting contract that probably wouldn't have come to fruition without the deferrals, if that happens again, or even maybe if it doesn't happen again, do you think that will be a point of contention in the labor negotiations
potentially
that we just alluded to?
Potentially. I mean, again, they're going to get their money. So I think the players are like, I mean, doesn't matter when you get paid, as long as you get paid.
That's tough, because I don't think it's going to be an issue that either side is willing to really give up a ton to get done.
Right.
It's like, oh, all right, deferrals. I mean, I don't like them, but that's not a negotiating chip that I'm going to, you know, oh, well, okay, we'll give you this if you take out deferrals.
Right.
I just don't know that that's really going to be a hot topic when it comes to collective bargaining agreement talks.
But what is the owners are going to want to not spend as much money, and the players are going to want more money. That's what the work stoppage is going to be about. And it's coming. I mean, it's coming. They have a year, but can they get it figured out before then? When do they even go to the table?
I just always thought there must be a way. If the Rockies are spending $80 million and the Yankees are spending $300 million, if you make the Rockies spend at least $150 million and you limit the Yankees to $250 million, ultimately more is being spent on the players overall,
even though
you're checking in the top teams. There's got to be a way that you both create more competitive balance, but don't just take money away from the players at the top.
You know what their argument is? There's plenty of competitive balance. We've had a different World Series winner every year for the last 20 years. That's what they'll tell you. That's what the players will tell you. Yeah, there's plenty of parity. We're good. We've conceded this. We've conceded that. We're not conceding to a salary cap. We're just not going to. Look at the parity in baseball. The Rangers, the Dodgers, and on the Astros, and on we go. Houston. I mean, all kinds of teams can win the World Series. Kansas City did it. You know, I just don't think they're going to give an inch. Do you? I don't. Why would you? Why would you limit your earnings potential?
Probably not. You know? But I don't see a lot of outrage that LeBron only makes $60 million a year when he really should be making a ton more.
Right.
Doesn't seem to hurt basketball that much that they have reined in the very top-end salaries in order to create a more balanced playing field with everybody.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a fan of players getting their bags, for sure. But, you know, at some point... It's gonna pop, right? It can't go on this way forever. You know, Juan Soto's the next guy. He's gonna get $700 million, and then who? What's the next guy? 800? You know, what's Bo Woods gonna make? You know, $100 billion. Like, what's the deal? When's it gonna pop?
I mean, in some ways, it's kind of crazy that baseball has such large salaries.
I know
when you know. We just talked about it. The reason why there's so much competitive balance is that you have to have good 7, 8, 9 hitters.
Right.
You have to have good bullpens. Yet the more you pay the stars, the less you have for the rest of those guys.
Correct.
No matter what, there is a budget. Every team has one eventually. You know, there's only going to be so much spent, whether it's, you know, $30 billion is spent on salaries, you know, whatever. That number will be divided, and the more that the stars get, the less that the other players get. There's a fixed pot, and it goes to the players, and the more Juan Soto and Shohei Ohtani get, the less everybody else gets. But they can only bat once out of every 9 times.
That's true.
You can't put the ball in, all right, you know what, you're making the money, so
you're hitting.
You've got the ball coming down the stretch here. We're gonna,
you're taking
the last 9 shots of the game. You're batting the last 7 times in this game because we're paying you for that. You can say that in basketball.
You can.
You can put the ball in the quarterback's hands and say, you're either winning this game or losing this game. But you can't tell Shohei Ohtani,
you're up again.
We're paying you all this money and you're only batting once every 9 times?
You're up again.
Come on, man. You're killing us here. We need you up at least 4 or 5 times every trip through the order.
Yeah.
Doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
Why do they get so much when they can't impact the team as much as other sports?
It's true.
All right, we'll take a timeout.
I mean, we know plenty of people that were connected to the last labor thing, and now I will do my due diligence and talk to them about how serious this is. But I'm hearing tons of whispers from people in the game saying, brace yourselves now. Get your bits in order. Right? Get your bit, Paulie, and Ben, get your bits ready, because there may not be baseball next year. Not this season, the next.
If you've got any thoughts, you can comment in our YouTube stream, on our chat, on our social media channels, at Ben and Woods.
That lockout just a couple years ago that we had,
brutal,
that
man.
Started, I want to say, like mid-November.
Yeah.
Like shortly after the World Series, and we had less than nothing to talk about
as
far as baseball goes until... mid to late March, whenever it ended.
It was some lean times for your Ben and Woods crew.
We literally, like, it ended, call it noon on a Tuesday or whatever. We had to be ready to go to spring training, like, that weekend.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, man. God, awful.
All right, still to come, Randall Report, new college, the first college football playoff rankings
indeed.
Out. Talk about that coming up as well on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. All right, Ruben Niebla seems to be your next target. What about player-wise, though? What's the next order of business for A.J. Preller this offseason? He's going to wrap up those GM meetings in the next 24 hours or so, and then you really do get into the business of reconstructing the roster for 2025.
So fun. I love it.
And, you know, ultimately, he's going to, as every team does, he'll have a person in every position. He will fill out a pitching rotation. You know, how good it looks, you know, at spring training will be up for debate, but he will get it done. The question is, where are the first priorities this offseason? And we can talk about that after a quick check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. So while you need starting pitching and you need to figure out what you're going to do in left field with Jurickson Profar as a free agent, and there's a question about your shortstop going forward, to me, the first order of business player-wise this offseason is figuring out who's going to be your starting catcher next year.
Really?
And if that's re-signing Kyle Higashioka or making a trade of some sort, I just feel like it's the position that has the least options out there. And you can't wait around all offseason and go, you know what, if we don't have this done, you know, late January, there'll be someone out there that we can sign. Not Not really. Not necessarily. If you wait until January, you can find a left fielder. If you wait until January, there will still be pitchers on the market. You may not love them, but they will be there. You can fill out a starting rotation. If you wait until January, it may be Luis Camposano and Brett Sullivan, who are your catchers coming to spring training, and I don't know that you feel good if that's the case. So if I'm like, what is the most likely move to be made early in the offseason by the Padres? I think it might be signing Kyle Higashioka to a contract. Also, could be the first move of the year.
Yeah, and it's also not one of those that's going to, you know, oh my God, I can't believe we just spent all this money on this player, right?
Which is usually AJ's first move is one that doesn't blow your hair back.
Yeah, it's like, but it's okay, like a solid.
Yeah, whatever, solid.
Yeah, solid fine. Move, needed it, you know, whatever. It's, and hey, we just stroked a check for $10 million for 2 years or $12 million for 2 years, whatever it may be. So sure, no problem. I can get behind that, Benny. That's a good point you make. There's not an unlimited amount of serviceable big league catchers, especially one that, you know, is as beloved as Kyle Higashioka. Now, out of the room.
Might not be Higgy. I mean, every year for the last few years, AJ has seemingly found another catcher, whether it was Gary Sanchez in the middle of the season or Jorge Alfaro. He's found those, you know, backup catchers. We talked about Travis d'Arnaud now being available. Maybe that's the guy. I don't know that it's...
I was just going to make that point. Like, it doesn't concern me at all because the track record speaks for itself.
Sure.
He just finds these guys that are pretty more than serviceable catchers, but I think you're right. It is important to lock that down, that position here pretty soon.
Yeah, I don't think specifically you have to target just like one guy and go all in. But I do think you need to take care of it and on the earlier side rather than just waiting and seeing what's left by the time it's, you know, almost Peoria season to show up at spring training next year.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think starting pitching is going to be at a premium. I don't know how in they're going to be at the top levels of free agent starters. I saw some, every publication does their, hey, here's the 50 best free agents and their potential landing spots. And there was one sent out the other day, and the only name that was linked to the Padres in this guy's list was the very bottom. It was Max Scherzer to the Padres. Okay, it'd be an odd one-year deal, I would assume. Nothing more than 1 year.
Well, about 3 years too late.
Knowing us, he'd have an opt-out or several opt-outs for the next 7 years. Opt in for $75 million, something ridiculous. We just go, what? How about just a 1 year deal? No opt ins, no opt outs, and everybody does their thing. But that was literally the only name. I'm scrolling through this one on CBS Sports. I mean, look, potential landing spots for literally every player is Mets, Dodgers, Red Sox.
And I see the same thing, but they can't take all the players.
No, you can't.
While they have the money to do so, you still have to operate under a 26-man roster, a 40-man roster. You can't sign every free agent. There is a ton of players out there, and they will be among a number of teams. It won't simply be the Dodgers, Yankees, and Mets signing everybody this offseason. And they'll find, if players don't end up on one of those three teams, guess what? You're going to have to sign somewhere else and probably for a little less money than you were hoping to sign for.
Yeah.
And there will be guys available. And of those guys who are available, it's up to AJ Preller to figure out which ones are about to have a good season and which ones aren't. And, you know, stay away from the latter and sign the former. That's his job this offseason. Not going to be at the top of the market, you know, for the Juan Sotos of the world. We get that. I understand that. I'm okay with that. You just have to be ready to jump in and get the right guys when they do become available.
And I do wonder, you know, if it's in the budget or even the idea of bringing back the majority of the guys that were here through this run last year. You know, and I'm talking about the Higgies, the David Peraltas, the Donovan Solanos. You know, those guys are free agents as well. I think there's interest from them. They loved playing. Both Higgy, Solano, Arise, and Peralta all sent lovely tweets or Instagram posts about, man, that was phenomenal. I loved it. Thank you, San Diego. You guys were electric. Best crowd in baseball, blah, 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 blah. Now, that could be something that potential free agents just do. Yeah. Probably a smart business decision, but I'm not mad at that at all.
Well, it's weird because in a lot of situations, a lot of years, I'd be like, no, don't, you can't just run it back.
Right.
But we all agree, right? Like that That was the best roster maybe the Padres have ever assembled.
Yeah.
And they absolutely had a chance to win the World Series, so why not bring the majority of those guys
back? Yeah, none of those guys are going to crush you financially. Not crush you.
Get a little creative on the trade market like AJ always does.
For sure. You know,
he had to cut $90 million in payroll last year, and he still went out and traded for Dylan Cease and Luis Arraez.
Yeah.
Who knows what he's going to do on March 20th this year.
Yeah, for sure.
Mike, who's been very active in our chat this morning, Mike says, sign Higgy, King, Pro, and Arraez. They're San Diego people. I don't think, I could be wrong about this, but the extensions for guys like King and Arraez, I don't think are the first order of business this offseason. Those are something that I wouldn't be surprised if they do get done. That's like during spring training next year. We've seen a number of those, like Manny's, that don't get done until they actually show back up at spring training. That gives a little urgency. The season's about to start. You don't really want to negotiate during the last season of that contract, so you want to get it done before the season starts. But right now, it kind of is in the Padres' best interest to know how things play out before they start committing multiple years and, extra millions of dollars. The clock isn't really ticking right now.
No, it's really not.
It doesn't start ticking until at least you get close to the start of next season.
And the only guys that it's really ticking on are the guys that are, the free agents. If you're interested in bringing Donovan Solano back, the clock's ticking. Because other teams, I just saw him linked to the Angels and a couple, because the guy still mashes lefties. He's very valuable. He's going to be 37 years old, but still valuable guy. He's not going to break the bank. Yeah, man, bring him back. Use him as you used him this year.
Manny kind of artificially created a deadline when he was going into his last year before his opt-out. And, his agent said, hey, we want to get this. Remember, he put a clock on it. Says, hey, if we don't get it done by then I'm just playing it out the rest of this year, and that's it.
Yeah, I do the same thing to Adam every single year, whether it's contract time.
That can also
time.
Just be lip service, too, because remember, Joe Musgrove did the same thing. It was mid-season. It was like July or August. He said, I don't, after this point in the season, I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Correct.
I only want to focus on the season and the playoff push. And I think it was after that deadline, he got his extension.
And Michael King's agent and Luis Arraez's agent can do the same thing, but they can't do it now. No one's going to go, if we don't get the deal done by November 27th, then I don't think we're going to talk about this after that. No,
right.
It only makes sense to do it. Okay, March 15th or whatever. I want to focus on the season. Either we get this done now or not. You can kind of create an artificial deadline there. You can't create one at Thanksgiving, though. No one's gonna take that seriously. So I don't think there's a tremendous amount of urgency on those deals, although there might be by the time, we get to February and March.
Yeah, you we don't know what they know. We don't know what they want. We don't know what they value. We don't know who else they have their eyes on. AJ, it continues to surprise us every single year, and anybody the Padres have ever been linked to, they've never gotten. And conversely, somebody that you thought we'd never be linked to him, well, look who ends up a Padre.
Wouldn't it be fun to see AJ's board?
More than anything. Incredible.
His off-season
board. Yeah, like in his phone. He has his notes in his phone. Be like, here's what I want.
Here are the different paths we can take. Yeah. Here are the players we can,
be great.
Then you'd have to keep it secret, though, which would just kill you.
Not for me. I'm good at keeping secrets.
You are pretty
good
at
keeping
secrets.
I've kept all his secrets. Yeah.
You're a confidant.
I am. Could be.
We'll come back. Rindle Report, college football playoff rankings, and more next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.